Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show live in the day with Jay. I am your host, and I am definitely interested in getting you acclimated to what's going on today. We got a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to be introducing someone momentarily. But first, I want you guys to really sit back and think about everything that we're going to be doing today. I want you to think, well, we're going to be talking about, I want you to think about the status of our education system and why is it such a failing rate all across the nation. There's got to be some sort of reason and some sort of solution to this problem. And I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this just to be blowing smoke, but there is a problem and we have to really address it. Number to call is 347-945-7405. You guys, I also want to let you know that we are going to be speaking with none other than international recording star Sarah P next week. And I can't wait to interview her, and I think you guys are really going to be pleasantly surprised with what's going on with her. And hopefully, we might have a surprise for this year's Independent Artist Festival if we can get it done in time. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag yet, but I promise you it's going to be something that we are really, truly going to be proud of. Number to call is 347-945-7405. And then we're going to open the phone lines, and I want to hear what you got to say. I want to hear what your thoughts is on what's going on across the nation in our schools. Is it our schools or is it the people that's working in the schools? I'm going to tell you what I think. It's going to be some people out there that's going to be mad, and I can almost promise you that you're going to be very angry when you hear what I have to say, because what I have to say is not going to go along with what you think. So when we come back, I'm going to introduce you to somebody that's going to be joining us on the show, and then we're going to get down and dirty with what we need to. Number to call is 347-945-7405. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
My hands so full of my hopes and dreams.
believed that I was strong, a man afraid of nothing. I had the world inside my hands, that's what I told myself. But now I see that I was wrong. The truth is I have nothing. If I do have you,
Gordon Foundation, Gaston County's newest vision for the youth, specializing in youth-based projects such as life skills learning, etiquette, and its pilot program, the Carolina Hornets Youth Football Program. For more information, contact Torin Gordon at 704-232-5748. That's 704-232-5748. Again, that's 704-232-5748.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay. Now go get him, daddy.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 347-945-7405. Again, that number is 347-945-7405. Guys, before we went to our first break, I told you that we were going to incorporate a little something on this season of the show. And, I've been doing the show for about 6 years. Well, a little longer than that. And there has never, ever been a co-host on this show with me. Just never had one. And, but today I'm going to introduce you guys, someone that's going to co-host with me on here. And, just see if you guys have a feel for his flavor, whatever the case may be, because we got a lot of stuff that we got to cover this season on the show, a lot of things that we need to talk about. Also, real quick, before I introduce him to you, for the ones in the Gastonia area, we had the Independent Artist Festival there last year, and it was very, very great in Gastonia, down at Zoe's, that is. And it's come to my attention that Zoe's is closing down. There will not be another venue happening there this year. And, it's kind of bittersweet. Well, it's bitter. It's nothing sweet about it. It's bitter because of the fact that we got a bunch of politicians in the Gastonia area that cares nothing about themselves, nothing but about themselves, and they don't care when you have a place where you can go unwind, where you have a judgment-free zone. I read a post last night from one of the councilmen, and he was spot on. He was spot on when he said that Zoe's was a place in the Gastonia area where you could come, feel no judging, could be totally accepted for who you are, what you are, where you are, and what you do and say anytime at that place. And all I can say is that they opened the doors up for this radio show. We had J Radio Show Thursdays on there where we had some of the people that performed on the show, and they went to Zoe's and they performed there, and it was really, really good fun. We had the Independent Artist Festival there, which was a really good turnout last year. And, you know, it's really sad that we can't keep cornerstones in the community that stood up for what's right for the little people. I guess, you know, since they stood up for the little people, now they got to leave, which is absolutely ridiculous. But you haven't heard the last of my mouth on what's going on with Zoe's, because it's really something that we need to talk about, and we need to try to find them a new home so we can continue with the diversity that they have opened their doors and given us. Now, in saying that, I'm going to welcome to the show today, and I'm going to let him tell you who he is, a little bit about himself, and why, you know, he decided to go this realm with coming on the show, because it's a total different atmosphere for him. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on the show none other than the co-host, Baby A. Welcome to the show.
What's up? Hey, man. How you doing?
Tell the listeners a little bit about who you are.
I'm a Gastonia born country boy, I guess you could say, but I've got every piece of flavor in me, like you call it. I think I've got every different kind of culture that I've ever ran into from Gastonia. I'm a little bit of everything. Born and raised here, all over the states, traveled. Love music more than anything. It's a passion. I've grew up here, went to high school here where that's where I met Jay at, and graduated high school, went to a year at Gaston College. Anyway, I know where that's at. What was it, Harvard on the Highway? Been there and didn't like it that much. Went out and kind of ventured out into different jobs of what I thought I'd like. Did everything from molding and ended up going to electrical work. And I mean, I'm liking it. But then I thought, you know, to myself, what's better than music? What's better than doing something I like to do? So I figured I'd go to something like radio. And that's where I ran into you. Just trying to find my way in life, I guess, but feeling different ways, and radio is one way I thought that I'd try out, and I think I like it a lot, so it's one reason why I'm here.
What is your flavor that you think you're going to be able to bring to this show, to the listeners? Because there is a diverse listening group here, and they expect a lot sometimes. So some of the tough issues, like we're getting ready to handle in just a little bit. What can you say to them? And I guess coming from, you know, the young aspect, the young generation, what is it that you think you can offer the young generation?
I think I can offer more of, if you're speaking more like of the younger generation, I can speak kind of basically their standpoint, because I am younger. I know what they're going through nowadays. I know what it is to be like just to graduate out of high school and just to get a job. And flavor for me, I mean, I love hip hop, I love R&B, I love, you know, the mixed jazz beats, I love everything there is about music and diversity. And there's so much that I could hit for, but for younger groups, I believe that I'd be able to hit almost every tee because I know what fence they're standing on.
Hey, man, I, you know, nothing but best, and I hope we can continue doing what we're going to do. So right now, I think I'm going to hit the phone lines real quick. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with our schools. Now, I said this before. Is it our schools or the people that's working in the schools that's posing the problem? What are we going to do to cut down on some of the violence, some of the young teenage pregnancies, the influx of silver spoon fed teacher versus inner city kid? I don't think that's a good mix. And the reason I say it's not a good mix is because there's times where you got an inner city kid that's going through some things, and you get a teacher who's never experienced those things that they're going through. And the first thing they say to that child is, "I understand." Well, the first thing I say to you is, "You don't understand. You don't understand, and that's not how it's supposed to go in schools." And that doesn't do anything but get these kids upset. And then you start looking at problems. You start looking at behaviors. You start blaming the parents. You know, and I'm not going to say the parents have no responsibility to do, but sometimes, and in this day and time, we're looking at parents now that really has issues with raising children. And I'm not the one to say that they can't have children. What I'm saying is that they have put themselves in a predicament where they have maybe having a child at a young age, you know, and it's at that point in time where the ones that know the tough road ahead should try to teach those children. Well, what do you think?
I agree that there's a lot of people that I've grew up with spoon fed that have been handed a lot of everything. And I've ran into a lot of people like that. I've grew up with people like that, but luckily I wasn't one of them people. I worked for the thing that I got. I've put hard and did everything I could in school, but I can see the standpoint of people that go to school and they know that they're going to pass even if they don't have to do anything. They can sleep. They can not do work. They don't have to do anything to get where they are today.
We're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to see what you got to say, guys, because I know you got a lot to say. Caller, welcome to the air. You on, caller?
Yep.
Yeah, you on.
Oh, it's me?
Yeah, it's you.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm in the middle of driving. I didn't think I'd be on this quick.
Hey, that's okay. Where you calling from?
I'm a Bostonian.
Okay. Okay. Welcome to the show.
Hey. I actually grew up inner city, born and raised. And from what I've seen, I don't think it's the schools. I think it's the kids. I was one of those kids. I was the problem. I caused all the trouble. I gave teachers shit. I would throw stuff. Oh, sorry for my language. I don't know how the show works. But,
okay, go ahead. You're okay. Go ahead.
All right. And I was the problem. I don't think that the teachers. I agree with you on the. They're like spoon fed, so they don't know how it works out there.
Right. Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah, not all of them, but you know, honestly, quite a bit.
I understand.
I think parents, sorry guys, but I think you need to start looking at your kids. I think that's what it is. That's what my parents didn't do.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that there needs to be a restructuring of who goes to what school? And I don't want this to sound bad, but it looks like this is happening across the nation where we have an inner city kids getting the schools that are not so good, and the kids that live in great neighborhoods are getting excellent schools with great technology. Do you think that's playing a little part into what's going on?
No. No, I don't see why that would have anything to do with it at all. I was actually there when they started switching it over to that.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I appreciate your call, and feel free to call back to the show anytime. Thank you, caller.
All right, later.
So, baby, hey, what do you think?
That's such a deep subject and and hard to hit on. But he, like he said, he was like, he was one of the people that I, you could actually talk to that actually admitted that he was one of the people that was, you know, acted a fool and everything else. But I think that that's not the thing that I was meaning by, you know, spoon fed or whatever else. I'm meaning that these people go to school, fall asleep and don't do any work, but yet they still can make it through. But when all of us are still busting our butt to do everything we can to make A's and B's and play sports or do whatever we can and make our parents proud. But it seems like some parents, like he was saying, they don't care. They don't care about what they make. They don't let it show. Or the child is saying that the parent doesn't care, or maybe the parent isn't there. But I think I see what you're saying about the inner city and money wise, because there is a lot of politics in schools, and there's a lot of politics out there that don't want to put money in schools or anything like that. But they say, you know, oh, they got the lottery and all this other stuff. But sometimes, you know, that's not enough for what schools and education needs.
A black and white issue. Oh, well, I'm not going to say black and white. Do you think it's a race issue, period? Because you have Latinos, you have Asians, you have blacks, you have whites, you have poor whites, you have poor blacks, you have poor Latinos, poor Asians. I don't know too many poor Asians, but you got poor Asians. And I'm wondering if that is starting to take an effect now, because, you know, and the reason I say that is because there's a lot of schools now that are sending papers home with their children, with their students, and they want to know what is your salary, what is your ethnic makeup, and why do they need to know that in school? Why do they need to know how much money you make? I'll tell you why. So they can get more federal funding. And the more federal, more poor people they have in these schools, the more federal funding they get, and the less our children get. There's schools that, you know, you come from a school that didn't have books, that didn't have the books that you needed, you know, but you have to go out here and beg the community to help you buy computers, this, that, and the other, you know. And it's those type of things that's starting to wear down on our young people. Now, our young people are showing out in school. There's no doubt. There's no doubt they're showing out. And sometimes I understand why, and sometimes I don't. But for the main issues that's going on within the schools, there has to be some sort of way that we can reach our young people so that they will have a better outlook for their future, because I'm telling you, we have failed them right now. And I'll say that, and I know there's a lot of people who will say, well, what do you mean we failed them? We have failed our young people, because they're going through the things they're going through right now is because we haven't given them the guidance that they need. What do you think?
Agreed. I do agree with that. That a lot of the young people are going through what they're going through because of the parent. I mean, you know, they're not. I mean, you know, over time, times have changed. Back then, I got whooped all the time for all the bad things I did. Now I know friends that are in school now that have never gotten touched when they were born. And to me, that's the way you raise a kid. I mean, it's just, to me, you get disciplined for the things you do wrong. And to me, I don't personally think it's a race thing. I mean, you never know. I mean, nowadays with politics and people like that are in there that are older that have standpoints that they believe in, and it could be one person's racist and another one's not, or whatever it is. But the money thing is too big of an issue for, oh, should we give this, you know, this poor community college or this poor community school this amount of money and give this, you know, high end school however much money? It needs to be divided equally is what I'm seeing and what I can figure out. But it's really just a messed up thing, I guess. I don't know. I can't really think of that.
So you don't think that race has any bearings on what's going on right now when it comes to our school system?
With my standpoint and with how I was raised, I would say no. But I don't know how other people are standing on it. Like, I don't know how the political people are, or how the principal is, or how the teachers are. You know, there's students to this day that are young just because they think that, you know, slavery happened, or they hate white people. Or I've had a lot of where I went into school, and you know, because like my all my classes were basically more not what I am, but more of, you know, Chinese or Peruvian or black or, you know, anything else other than what I was. But I had more friends than anybody. And I can tell you now that I loved everybody, but I just don't, I can't speak for anybody else.
Speak from your experience. Speak from what you seen when you were going to school. And I know that wasn't too long ago, y'all. He's pretty young. So speak for what you know and what you have experienced in your time.
From what I've seen when I was – okay, from what I basically know, I guess, is from when my brother was in school, I never really paid attention to any race or anything, and I don't think they were any racist or anything. And I was – he's 10 years older than me, so that was almost 15 years ago when he was in high school. So, and I never seen any type of racial anything like that. And then when I got into high school, I could see there was – my first high school, I know there were a bunch of racists in that school because of how they treated people. And how I seen it, but I, you know, I always was the one to stand up and say, y'all just, you need to quit. And it was because of what team I played baseball and football or whatever. And I don't stand up for anything that's against anything that's, you know, free. I mean, you can't choose what you do and you can't choose how you are. And I think from my standpoint in high school, there were racist people there still are. That's just how they are, I guess. But, the majority, I would say, they're probably not racist, but there were a good handful, if not two handfuls, of plenty of racists.
I hear you. We're going to take on that note, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to take some more phone calls. I see you guys and we're going to take some more phone calls and see what they're thinking. Number to call is 347-945-7405. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
Down the door.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show, guys. Make sure y'all call in at 347-945-7445. But again, it's 347-945-7445. We came back, you know, just talking about the school systems all across the line, all across the borders, anywhere in the U.S., anywhere, wherever y'all are at. Talking about all the problems that are having today with people today. I mean, any type of school system, any system, any way you are, the teacher, the principal, you know, any political standpoint that you are. We're going to go back to the phone lines and see who we can take and whoever wants to talk on the lines. What's up, caller? Are you online?
What's going on? How y'all doing today?
What up? How you?
I'm good. I heard you talk earlier about school system and how you said you didn't see any racist tension in schools. I got people connected to the school system, and it's always going to be that. It's always going to be racist tension in schools, man, especially if you're in the South. And for you to say you don't see it, I don't see how you didn't see that coming in school, because it's there, man. Because I see it through either they classify you with an IEP in school, or they classify you with OCS classrooms, but the classification is still there. It may be changed up, but they don't come at you directly with black and white, but the classification of kids, they still do that, man. So for you to say you don't see it, and that's big right now, basically in this generation, because they classify an education every day.
Right. And you're saying that basically they're classifying racism or whatever race into actual categories of classrooms or education levels or different styles, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Because the reason why I was saying I never seen it is because when I went to a classroom, I actually was in the not considered Down syndrome, but I was in a slower classroom because I couldn't read as fast. I'm dyslexic, so I couldn't really read. And more than majority of the people in there weren't black. They were more white people in my classes than there were black people. And that to me doesn't show racism at all. That just shows that there is an equal right to everybody. But you know, I do say that I've seen the standpoint that there was, you know, racist people in the schools, but when it came to professionalism and teachers and principals and stuff like that, when I walked into their room or into their office, there would be pictures on the walls of every different type of student. It could be black, white, Mexican, Latino, anything. It doesn't matter. Like, and that's what I'm saying, that I didn't see, you know, I mean, I was younger, so I mean, I didn't open my eyes as much as a adult would right now, or a dad or a mother. You know, I don't see stuff like that, or I didn't see stuff like that because I was a student. I did treat everybody equally. And to me, classroom basis doesn't really set a basis of racist to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be, you know, they would segregate way back in the day for classrooms, but that was way before my time. And I when I went to classes and I went to classrooms, it was equal all around. No matter if you know the difference between of what I'm trying to say is when we went to school, we were all trying to get GEDs. That's all we cared about was graduating, and that's all that I ever seen.
Well, I mean, I feel you on that, but I will say this, because by the way, my profession is I work in the school system, so that's why I say I see it. And then, you know, you say you didn't see it, but that's probably one time you're looking for. Most of the time when you're a black person, you don't gotta look for it. It comes and find you. When you're a white person, sometimes it's a little different because you don't know what to look for, so you're not really looking for it. But with us being black, trust me, it's there, man. It's there every day. Yeah. I hear teachers every day say, "Oh, he's not going to succeed," or "His daddy wasn't nothing." Now, I mean, white people may hear it from time to time. I mean, and I still say that's racism in the point too with. You know, they try to classify white people as rednecks, that they different than this normal white people. Then you have black folks. And they always say, well, he's not going to be anything. He's not going to make it far. But why? Because most of these kids they say this about are either athletes. They are smart. But most of the time they say it because they're black. They say, well, his attitude messed up. What attitude do he have?
But and you know what? You know what, Carla? That's very important that you just said that, because that is one of the things that I was talking about, where they don't take time to get to know these children that they claim are going to be troublemakers or are labeled as troublemakers, because they don't know the life that these kids have lived. They don't know that these kids, most of these kids, are supporting their families. And it happens in the African-American community. I have not yet seen a bunch of other ethnic children who have to take on the burden of going home and fixing supper for their little sister or brother and getting
right.
them dressed, getting them bathed at night, getting them ready for the next day because mom is high on drugs or mom is nowhere to be found or dad is in the back rooms doing drugs or playing video games. You know, so those are realities that people take for granted because some people live in a glass house and they don't get a chance to get any stones thrown at that glass house. But I've experienced
right.
children who live like that. And it's sad that we have children that live like that here in America. And it's even more sad that there are people who are turning a blind eye to it.
Every day. Every day is a blind eye because they don't want to factor that in. And then when you do throw that out there to meet into them, now they want to have a hush mouth. Oh, I apologize. It's too late to apologize. Why are we apologizing now? Why didn't we factor that in first? But, you know, you throwing that out there, and like I say, that is still big because I see it every day. Every day. I walk down the hallways of school every day, and I see that.
You know what, caller? We're going to bring another caller on. I'm going to let them come on and speak, too. I hope you don't mind that, but it's something a little different than we do in the show. We don't do it all the time. But, caller, welcome to the show.
Hi.
What's up? How you doing?
Where are you calling from, caller?
Well, I'm here in North Carolina. My name is Dana. I'm originally from New Jersey. I've been here in North Carolina for about, I'll say, 9 years. And
right.
With all this, with what I'm hearing anyway, a lot of this, well, not a lot. What I see is just a systematic injustice and unjust system, whether it be the politics, whether it be legal matters, whether it be our education. We all have all different scenarios of life, all of us. And I think anybody that's in the arena of teaching or being any type of educator should not only have a heart, I think it should be almost like a calling to have a heart as people first, and first rightly identifying a human being, and then thereafter, dealing with the person, dealing with their cultures, and dealing with whatever their daily situation is. That would be the best dream ever. But in reality, we know that people are judged by the way they look, by their economic status, which people are judged by what they pull up in front of their school. I've seen teachers react to children coming out of a car, thinking that they, you know, were bummy kids or were kids from the project or something. They were just in a car with a friend. That particular kid came from, I guess, what they would consider a good family, but because they got out of a bummy car, they associated that kid with another kid and was treating them as such. And
right.
not to get all into these drawn out stories, but I'm sure we can all come up with different scenarios. But the heart of the matter is the heart of the people. There are people that are happy in being racist. They're content. They have no problem with it. They have no problem with pushing your kid aside, your black kid, your Chinese kid, your Asian kid, your Latino kid. They don't have any problem with it because they're okay with it. That's the reason why it comes easy for them to blink a blind eye to them. But then it comes with a costly price, such as lies. It comes
right.
with the loss of lives and education. It comes with the price of loss of lives, period, people dying on the street, just that heart. And what I'm finding with people that I know that are next door, I'm finding out people's heart, their true heart, even with you know, our new president and everything. And not to make this a political issue, but it's no longer a situation where it's safe for you not to know who your neighbor is, not to know who your neighbor's child is. So in finding out these things, you're finding out the heart of people, how they feel. And you're finding out that same person that is living next door to you and the kids that go to the same school, my kid may be a shade darker and your kid may be a shade lighter, and you see the difference in attitude. You see the difference in approach with curriculum, even down to what the city chooses for curriculum for our children. If you look at statistics, our curriculum is garbage opposed to somewhere else. And this trickles down all across the United States of America.
That's true.
And I'm going to be quiet now.
You good. You good. You're speaking truth. I see the standpoint of what you're saying. You're seeing more of – you want people to see – the more of the inside of what somebody else or somebody looks like, not the inside or not the outside, excuse me.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these teachers, you know, today and age, even when I was going to school, I only had a select few teachers that actually would talk to me about something that was not, you know, part of the curriculum. I could walk outside and have a conversation with one of them, but the other one would just walk away like he wouldn't want to talk to me. Now there is people out there like that. And I mean, I do say that, yeah, you are correct about that. I mean, you have those people that don't care. They don't want to talk to you, and they want to keep their standpoints and what they think you are, you know. And you're always going to have that, and I agree with you on that.
And just to piggyback off of what you were saying, another thing that I find, like, there are so many opportunities that are not told to the urban community, to those that are in situations that are not, you know, as good as others, and I hate even that I said associated urban being less than, because that's not always the case either. But a lot of the terminology that we're using today, it's almost like a coded conversation now. We no longer say the words, you know, like oh they're nothing, or look at that black baby, or look at that. Well, yeah, they do. They say a lot of negative stuff, but it's not as upfront. We have coded conversations where you can identify someone as being black, but not necessarily saying that they're black. You have coded conversations where you can identify someone as being
right.
financially not stable, but not necessarily say the word welfare. We have all
right.
these coded and underlined and undertold different things that are going on, and I don't care what anybody says. Some may be oblivious to it and naive to it, and I'm talking about those that may not have been born in this country, but those that have been born here in this country, those that have went to the grocery store, that had to go to a corner store,
right.
that had to go to a gas station, there's no way that you did not feel and cannot feel the tension, the racial tension in the air. There's no way. And even down to, like, Vice President Trump, he recently made a comment about people in America, we need to get rid of this so-called systematic injustice and racism. And when he said that, it kind of made my skin crawl, because the fact that anyone in this United States of America could say that there is no type of systematic injustice is an absolute imbecile and incompetent. There's no way that you can say that, even down to I've seen best friends get split up because a principal chose a side that they knew that the other child did something, but because of white and black issues, the friendship was severed. Of course, you know, no one is going to rat on their own kid, but there is a truth that was missing. And why was the truth missing? Because of the blind blinking eye of racism. And again,
right.
I'm going to shut up.
You're doing just fine. You're doing fine.
You were absolutely right in everything you just stated. And I've seen, just like you, those very same things, which is absolutely ridiculous in our communities and in our schools across this nation. I'm going to bring on another caller. Caller, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, my name's Billy.
Hey, Billy, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Good. I'm from Lincolnton, North Carolina. Grew up in a small town. I live in a small town now. And, you know, you don't see as much of the racism in a small town. So I can't speak for inner city. I have no idea what it's like there. I would say, in my opinion, I think more of a financial divide. You know, in school, we talked about racism in school, but I feel like there's cliques with, I would say, more financial cliques. You know, the rich kids kind of hang together. The poor kids kind of stick together. And it could probably be turned into a racial issue if you wanted to do that. But I feel like it's more of a, I'd say a financial issue, just in my opinion.
I understand that. Lincoln have their own problems up there, though, don't they? I remember a while back, they were having issues between some of the local Muslims up there and some of the Christians up there. I don't think it was more so a black-white issue, but I think it was one of those religious things going on. But I can't remember some stories that I've had with some of my friends, and we've been chased out of Lincoln because of the color of our skin. So I'm glad that they've done a turnaround, because when I was going up through there, it was all racism there. And in Dallas, you got the surrounding areas, Dallas and Cherryville and all those little areas, they have a lot of hidden racism. And those are the things that we got to combat against. And if we don't stick with one another, then we're just fighting a losing battle with that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it could be, you know, associated with discipline.
Yes, sir.
But more disciplined people are not as, I don't think, as racial or as judgmental. Discipline, and I'm not sure that's something that's the school's job. You know,
yeah,
as parents.
That's more of a parent's job, I would think.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
how do we fight that parent that has children, but you know it's a broken home, and it's really a good parent. It's a good parent, and they are having problems financially. They're having problems emotionally. They're having problems physically, and they just need some help. But their kid is acting out.
Can I interject?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to go back to a comment about, I think I heard someone say, it's not like a major issue, or it's not as much racism. I think you were referencing Lincolnton.
Yes.
As of now. But my thing with that is, there's a scripture, and not to get off spiritual, but there's a scripture that says a little leaven leavens the whole lump, meaning that like a little poison, if
mm-hmm.
I gave you a little poison bit by bit, you may not drop dead then, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't take away the fact that you're poisoned. You may not die, but I am poisoning. There is no such
exactly.
thing as a little bit of racism. There's
right.
no such thing as well, it was only just a little bit, you know, this year we only had like two situations. Those two situations are poison. They're like me trying to, you know, put some type of chemical in your food.
Right.
And believe me, there's no such thing as a little bit. And what I'm finding is that people are not rightly identifying what it is. And once you go off into trying to water down what something is, you just get a watered-down version of a solution, which is a bogus pseudo-solution. There is
right,
no
right.
such thing as a little bit of racism. Once you sense it, once you feel it, once you eat it, once you drink it, once you smell it, you have no problem with identifying it and rightly identify it. So with that being said, that would be the beginning point of healing, and the beginning point of your education in knowing that rightly identifying racism is the stepping point towards healing. Thank
That's
you.
Right.
I agree.
I totally agree with that. Maybe, what do you think about it?
Well, to me, I believe, yeah, she's completely right. You know, there's not just a little portion of this, a little portion of that. You know, I can completely understand that. You know, it's a wider spectrum of just saying, oh, we had like a little bit. You know, no, you if it's in the presence, that means it's completely there. You know, but I do understand when somebody says, you know, there's a little bit of racism, because you know. You don't want to identify saying, well, you know, I live in a county, or I live in a town, or I live in a city that is racist, because, you know, that makes you feel bad, because you're not racist. You know, there's people that you don't, you know, with all your doubt, like shadow of a doubt, that they're not racist.
So what makes it a little bit?
That's a good question. Because, you know, the little bit that I would consider if, like, you know, if I was talking about G-Town or, you know, not G-Town, Gastonia, excuse me. If I was saying, you know, I know I'm not racist, you know, I know Jay's not racist. I know, you know, people that are around me that I know they're family with me that are not racist. But when I go to school, let's say I was still in school and I've seen, you know, Bob over there standing in the corner and he's talking about how he doesn't like black people or Mexicans or whatever, that would be the little bit, you know, the person that you can't help until you go talk to. To me, that would be the little bit.
That's a whole lot when he can openly say, I don't like black people or Mexicans. That's a whole lot. That ain't a little bit.
I agree. But, I mean, to me, I think when you say it's the little bit, then that would be the little bit that you need to go talk to, that you need to have a relationship with, to know you don't know them.
I'll tell you what. That's okay. Baby A, I want you to tell me when have or if you have ever experienced, we'll use something simple that happens to probably almost every black person I know. How many times have you ever went into a store and out of all the people that's in that store, the only eyes they got on is the eyes they got on you? How many times have you ever felt that type of pressure when you've gone into a department store or a convenience store for that fact by yourself?
Is this like back when I wasn't crazy, or is this back? I'm just kidding. I can't say that I ever have walked into a store, you know, and just been stared at, or, you know, felt that I've been stared at, but I have walked into, you know, I remember walking into a church, or I remember walking into a gas station, and it was like we were completely opposites, but everybody, when I walked into the door of the church, I remember the church like crazy, because I used to play, you know, trap set, and I'd walk in there, and like it was like I was, I don't want to put a bad, you know, reference, but it was like I was Satan himself walking through the door.
Wow, was it a black church?
No, I mean, it was Pentecostal.
So that's racism on the religious side. I'm talking about racism from your ethnic makeup, your who you are. Have you ever experienced that?
No, I cannot personally say I have.
Carla, what was you gonna say?
No, I just, you know, it's like I said, everybody has their own experiences. There's so many experiences, and I'm sure anybody that's black can probably tell you of some crazy experiences. But with the tension of the level of tension that the United States is in, it seems like it's just been just heightened. Everybody is on sensitive awareness everywhere. And the only thing that I can say that I guess that covers me in the sense of being approachable, I want to still be human. I want to still be approachable.
Yeah, that call's dropped. Carla, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you said. I appreciate everybody that's come on the show today and that's continuing to listen to the show right now as we're streaming. We've run out of stream time, but we're still on the air in some of the stations across the nation, which I need to say real quick before we get off the air, welcome back Buffalo, New York. Welcome back South Philly, Little Rock, Arkansas. I thank you guys for picking up the show and continuing to check the show out. So if I tell you this, I tell you each and every day, I love you with the love of God because he gives it to me each and every day. You got anything you want to say before we get off?
Not much. It's just fun. Hopefully you can do it again. I like it.
You guys have definitely, and I mean definitely, been live in the day with Jay. You guys, I hope you check out the show tomorrow because we got a lot going on. And I'm going to give you an update on Sarah P. She'll be here next week. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.